Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your Game Master. We're back with the conclusion of our return to Numenera. The Numenera 2 Kickstarter is still live, totally funded, and smashing stretch goals. If you love Numenera, or if you've been curious about the world, check out the Numenera 2 Kickstarter for the perfect opportunity to hop in. A huge thanks to our Game Master, Darcy Ross, for guiding us through. This week on the One Shot Twitch stream, with Warda Curiosities wrapped up, the Warda crew is doing a streaming finale anthology called Warda Glimpses, with the first episode airing this Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. If you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, that means it is today. Be sure not to miss it. Then the Dungeon Dome returns on Wednesday with a match between Arrow and Claudish at 8 p.m. Central Time. And on Saturday, the Compass Cats team up with Mega Starlight Surprise to battle a monster. And later that night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, Drew Merzieski will take us back into the Tomb of Horrors to do the third level of the Tomb of Nine Gods. We haven't lost a character yet, and I don't plan to start this week. You can catch all that and more at twitch.tv/oneshotrpg. We're attending a bunch of cons this November. Metatopia in Morristown, New Jersey, the 2nd through the 5th, Acatacon in Dayton, Ohio, the 10th through the 12th, and PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the 17th through the 19th. I'd like to take a quick moment before we get to the show to thank some of our backers on Patreon.
It's a cool name. Kayla Beckemeyer, right?
Beckemeyer, yeah, I think it's Beckemeyer. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Napolitano, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Christian Von Essen, thank you.
Ellie Akison, thank you so much.
Ellie raises goats.
Ellie raises goats!
Ellie raises goats and then names them after campaign characters.
She names them after campaign characters, and like little Ava was all black and then she had a little white streak on her head.
Ellie.
And I wanted to die.
Ellie, I love you.
Ellie.
I love your goats.
Ellie, we love you. We love your goats so much. Please let us pet them.
Elaine Hernandez, thank you.
We're sorry you had to follow Ellie's goats,
Elaine. I'm sorry. I mean, you know what? Raise some goats. Name them after our characters.
Elaine Hernandez, thank you. Really. Deleter, thank you.
Deleter. Recently, somebody had to warn Eric Marsman that goats are not good to raise. And it was like a whole exchange on Twitter.
Why?
He went to a petting zoo.
Uh-huh.
He fell in love with a goat.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody was like, you don't actually want a goat. And he was like,
but
I can change
do.
It.
Do want a goat. Deleter, thank you.
Thank you. Emily Devereaux, thank you.
Danielle Dennerkranz?
Yeah, I think Dennerkranz.
Daniel, thank you so much.
Daniel Dennerkranz, thank you. David H. Siegel, thank you.
Thanks to everyone who supports us through Patreon. That is how we make this happen. Also, a quick note, if you are a dice backer, we are going to be shipping out our dice in December, which means we are starting the collection of our backer addresses very, very soon. Be sure to watch the Patreon for updates on that. And with all of that out of the way, let's get to the show.
So Uraz is there hovering over you with his face sort of contorted in pain, and you're sort of sprawled on the ground. You're back in kind of human form of some kind.
Cool.
And you're looking up at him. So the last kind of vision that you were caught up in was about Tanasia's face turning empty and people turning away from you.
Yeah, I mean, like everybody's face was turning empty. My parents... like,
exactly.
Like all my friends, characters I haven't even mentioned, Roger.
this creature that stands above you. So there's the face, and then there's this arthropod-like carapace. Several segments down, it splits open into a caricature of a mouth. It speaks to you. What good is all of the power if there's no one left to turn to? Everyone leaves us in the end. Some leave us far earlier than that. And we can give our love away, but there's no guarantee that it will be returned.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Like,
there's a skittering, and you notice along the little metal tendrils upon which it's standing are kind of pneumatic tubes that are hooked up to some of these cylinders. And they sort of, you see bits of it sort of peristalsis motion, moving little segments of fluid up toward the body from these tubes.
My name's Skylar, and I've like fell down a hole, and I'm like supposed to be the Amber Pope in the city of Key. And like, I fell down here. Do you know the way out?
So quietly, we see E appear.
I appear down there.
If you would like to.
Yes.
If you're ready for that.
Yeah, I've used my boom boom tube.
Cool.
To follow.
Celine has followed you. Selena.
Selena has followed me. I sort of followed the psychic. I could still
connection.
Like have this psychic connection
yeah.
to Skylar. And also, because I have that psychic connection to Skylar, I also have that psychic connection to Cal. Mm-hmm.
Also Roger, who I haven't mentioned.
You haven't mentioned Roger now. Yes.
But Roger's, believe us, listeners, Roger's a big deal. Roger. And they're going to show
down,
up.
Write it down.
So initially, you know, you do have those connections, but the one that you followed here that was strongest was to Trey Caplace. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
So it's him that disappeared. So it was him that you were sort of keeping your eye on, the three, mm-hmm. you know, the number of you were up there watching. And as soon as Trey left with the talon bird form of Skylar here, as soon as they started shrinking in upon themselves and folding in ways that couldn't possibly be healthy for any normal three-dimensional creature. That's when you got the notion to use your boom boom tube. So I think a lot of you are there if you would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you sort of appear behind one of these cylinders holding fluid in it, and it's sort of coated in all sorts of drit and muck and things like that. But there you see little vague shapes floating in it. What are you trying to do? So you see your friend Uraz hanging, you know, in some horrible form over your friend, the Amber Pope.
I'm trying to reach out psychically
mm-hmm.
to see if there's anything left of his mind
mm-hmm.
In this abomination.
Yeah, there are, it feels like layers of barriers, and it keeps going, but that you hear sort of almost like the mental equivalent of like a whimpering
bow, or something. Bow, 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 bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow. The song he would use to comfort himself in times of need, you know, which was all the time.
Listen to the other Numenera episodes.
What are you doing, Carter?
So I'm on the scene in the goop.
And you guys are a ways, you know, maybe like it would take you a good run to get to them.
Clarifying point. Just to clarify the transition here, I know that Sky was in the bird form, clamped on. Then, you know, the whole mind game started to happen. And then mind games, E went in there. And then you're saying that now Tennessee and Karner, we kind of...
I'm assuming you boom tubed them through. Unless,
okay. He did. All right.
Yes.
And so that's why we're in this, I guess, sort of dream now. We kind of.
It's a physical location. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
We're somewhere. Yeah. We are somewhere.
We're somewhere. Right.
Darcy, we are somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
Can I say that I tried snapping my fingers to get out and it didn't work?
For sure.
Okay. I just want to say that I tried, for the listeners who are wondering why I didn't snap my fingers out of here. It doesn't work.
Reddit's yep. just blowing up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Inaccuracies.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, go ahead.
For me to go first, Tanasia just has this moment where she sees what has become of Uraz, like just towering above Skylar, and she just completely falls apart. Like I've said before, she's been on edge,
slow degradation.
But like actually seeing what has happened. She bursts into tears.
As a result of her actions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a direct result of her using that secret name. And she immediately, like, collapses into Karner. Just, like, tears flowing down her face. This is all my fault. This is all my fault. Just one stupid moment of weakness. And look at what has become of our friend.
In the monastery, we have a name for demons. It is a Sharna. And what is standing before us there is Sharna. Oh
Sharna,
the very face of evil.
Sharna listens to One Shot and she is going to be pissed. She's going to send out an email to all of IO.
Hey, Sharna, if you're listening, come at me, bro.
Karner, as much as he's trying to help, some part of him really still cannot fathom that Urez changed entirely because of the utterance of one word. And not really knowing what else to do to comfort Tanasia, looks up at Urez and just is sort of yelling at him. He's just like,
Urez, it's us, man. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Celine puts out a hand and it has in it that visor that she was using to look for watchers. And all of you can see just as it's passing through, it's illuminating all of the large red orbs, the eye-like stones that cover the Philethus, the watcher's face. And all along this whole chamber, it's just Philethus red stones all the way down along the walls. And in the chambers are sort of illuminated through these special visors. And you see Trey floating in one and slowly disintegrating. So this must be what they were doing with the missing folks. Celine says, cut him free of this. The Watchers have turned him into a monster. They're using him for something. This is not your friend anymore.
Is she saying it at all of us?
She's definitely saying it to E. I feel like she would have been by E.
She's right.
So you were just yelling. So the thing is started to notice you, but she's like, this is not worth investigating.
Am I entranced right now?
No, you're on the floor. But you heard Karner yelling, so you definitely know your friends are here.
Hey guys, I'm like talking to, I think it's your friend Uratz. I saw it in a vision you guys shared with me, and he's saying some pretty negative stuff. Honestly, like, he's pretty much telling me to give up and that my friends are gonna die and forget about me.
One of those long spindly limbs pierces your left shoulder all the way through. Oh.
Come on. Not very chill.
And you're trying to regenerate around it, but it's impaled you down. So cool. You feel, it's annoying, but you are filled with enormous power. So.
I take my slug thrower, which I had before from my Mad Max outfit.
Yep.
Listen to part 3 of the Numenaris series that we released. And I like cock it and I just shoot the tendril
off. Yeah, absolutely. It sizzles away. And the rest of the spindly bits are sort of moving in anger. But what are you guys doing? Unless you were going to say a cool thing.
Karner, how can I go on? How can I face that?
It's not Urez anymore. Whatever Urez was, that's the past. And now we got to get whatever it is now. E?
I have an idea.
We might
be able to salvage what's left of our friend Urez and put him into an empty vessel that we have.
Oh, cool. Just real quick, as they're like having this conversation and talking about what they're going to do, like the Amber Pope has dropped his slug thrower and then produced a life rod. Because this dude is like almost a max level character right now.
Basically.
And a life rod, a rod that is partially alive.
Oh, effect, God.
If the rod is touched to a character, she regains 10 points in one pool, gains the ability to see in the dark and in silty water as if in bright light within short range. And if elderly, is reduced in apparent age by 10 years. This rod is insane.
And it's partly alive?
Yeah. So, like, this little rod with a little cartoon face that just, like, goes, I'm the life rod. And he goes, cool, I'm the Amber Pope. My name's Skylar. And he, like, touches it to where he just got stabbed by that tendril. And his, like, arm gets super muscular. And he gets his face gets younger, and he's so, like, nah!
So now he looks 7.
He's, he's temporarily, he looks super young, and He's like just like cherub. Swelling with power as the life rod, the life rod turns to dust, and he goes, I'm dying. The life rod is in pain because it used all of its power.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
It's horrifying.
Numenera!
Real quick, the life rod has a flashback. imagines its
Roger?
Mom and yeah. Oh my god, what is
a dress up scene?
Yeah, dress up scene. Anyway, sorry. Back to the other gang.
I hope you have not grown too fond of your friend Scooper.
Scooper? Scooper?
I will wipe Scooper's egg from his mouth, and I grab Scooper.
So I'm going to tuck Scooper into sort of my, under my arm, and I walk towards these sort of spindly, these spindly things. And I wait for them to move.
I think Karner, in this situation, in order for Tanasia to act at all, I think you need to take some sort of initiative and like lead the charge.
Yeah,
Karner, like take initiative.
Well,
wink.
Like for once in your life.
Oh my Jesus! Before Karner really takes initiative, I just want to say real quick that I think it's so apropos that Scooper came from an egg. And then ate eggs and had egg on its mouth.
It's poetic in a way.
Numenera is a circle. And anyway, and now you're coming. Anyway, sorry, Karner, taking initiative.
So then, yeah, Karner seeing that he can take initiative and then also being egged on by everybody else.
Egged on.
See?
Oh, wow. Numenera is a circle, guys.
Numenera.
So, as one of his skills being initiative, Karner goes, I've had enough of this shit. And he actually pulls out one of his three extra throwing daggers. And he takes aim at what he thinks is the center of of what is Urez.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And are you going to fire?
I am going to fire.
Excellent. So make me a roll. I'm not going to tell you how hard this is. I just need to get a sense. And so it's a light weapon, which means it's a little easier to use. Is it very low?
It's a CAJ. It's a 7.
Okay,
that could have been bad. I thought it was a 1.
That was a 1. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. So you aim it at the center. Is this so how far away are you?
I came in on a tendril. I'm probably 30 feet.
Okay, cool. So you throw it toward the center. And it sort of hovers and stands there for a moment. You're getting ready with Scooper, Italos is. Tanasia is not doing anything yet. And that is when, so the dagger gets maybe halfway toward your target, kind of the center, right? And that's when your hand starts getting pulled along with it. So the distance between your hand and that dagger is staying constant as you start sort of getting dragged and then pulled up toward the center carapace of the creature once known as Uraz, that may or may not still contain Uraz. You see Karner leaving. What is your reaction to that?
Well, she screams, Karner! And she sort of like has this moment where she just like looks back over all of the time traveling with this group of companions. Mm-hmm. First meeting Uraz as like part of her charge. Mm-hmm. Running into both Karner and Italos on the wandering walk, the peaceful moments of them in the Cylon Basin's healing springs, eating at Biggie's.
Yeah, who could forget?
And like, of course, like meeting Skylar and hanging out with Skylar,
falling
in
love with Skylar.
Well, seeing Skylar is like kind of a younger brother, like somebody that she really wants to protect and take care of. Then she like it, this vision zooms out to like all of the stones lining the walls, like all of these watchers.
And all the moments you saw the watchers.
And the moments she saw the watchers, and like it cuts to that moment when she was drowning in the green pool, when the watcher illuminated the water around her, And she drew a sword that she did not have. And she realizes now why the Watchers were present for that particular moment. We can't hurt them with other weapons. And I will give up one of my experience to have Tanasia breathe in and reach her hand to her hip to grab a sword that is not there, and then breathe out, drawing it forward. And though there aren't many people around to hear it, anyone who would be able to can hear a shink as the sword is drawn forth from its scabbard. And she can feel it in her hands, even though she can't see it. Mm-hmm. And she takes off towards this monstrosity that has stolen her friend from her and that would steal her Karner from her.
Oh. What's this tendril doing as I walk close to it?
So did you pick? So there are sort of minor tendrils, and there are ones that have this pulsing fluid moving up through them. You feel like those were more important, so you moved up toward that.
Yeah.
And they've been kind of scuttling. The big fluid ones are a little more stable. They seem to be pulling up that fluid more importantly. Tanasia, you are trying to get toward the main body of Uraz. Are you going to like scuttle up a leg to do it, or how are you approaching? Leaping or catching on to Karner as he's brought closer to it?
I think, she runs up to Karner. Like, she's got a sword in one hand, and she's, like, trying to grab him to, like, break whatever hold the connection between him and his weapon has. Mm-hmm. How's that going? What's that like?
Trying to break the hole.
Yeah, like she's just trying to like shake him out of it so that he's not slowly being drawn towards.
That's going to require a roll to sort of maneuver off of, because you don't even really know the source of it quite yet, kind of thing. And what are you doing, Karner, as you're being pulled up? Are you yelling? And are you shocked? Are you trying to do something?
Not to say this is the best move, but just very naturally in. I feel like I know Karner at this point, so very naturally in my mind, I just imagine him going, being really kind of keep, because he just went from feeling like he's about to bad-acidly end all this to now he's kind of getting worked over by powers he has no clue about. Yep. So he is uneasy in a very vocal manner.
All right. I think I'm going to just do a pure roll on this because I'm definitely okay with failing cool. at this juncture. Yep. And as a might roll, and I rolled a 3.
Okay.
Was that one level of difficulty?
It was not.
Oh, was it? What a surprise.
So you're finding yourself, you're wearing all sorts of sparky things, right?
I think I was in a tuxedo, actually.
You're in the tuxedo now. Okay, so you're able to hang. Yeah, you're able to hang
fighting
on.
Fighting in tuxes.
You're able to hang on, but you're not able to break the grip off of whatever force is holding him to that knife. And you can see his hand is getting sort of increasingly white-knuckled. Like it's resisting against some power, but he's being pulled up by it. Mm. So you have your friend, whose name is
Scooper.
And what are you doing with this tendril? So it didn't react to you. It's kind of focusing all this other stuff going on. All the Falethis eyes are sort of looking down on you. You can kind of you can feel their presence in your mind.
I want to
waiting to see what you'll do.
Shove one of these things inside a Scoop. And get some of that juice, some of that pulsing juice.
Yeah, you got to get some of that pulsing juice.
Or at least connect, like, have some sort of connection.
Yeah,
like, I understand. I can create a psychic connection, I think.
Yep.
But I don't have any way to, like, physically get up to Uraz. So I want some sort of, like, actual physical connection between the two.
Whatever this fluid is, it's doing something to Uraz himself. It's either sustaining him or it's empowering him. You know, there would be, you know, based on the way that this looks, it's got to have some connection to the life force that remains in him.
Right.
So you sever it and you...
I sever, you, yeah, yeah. I
while maintaining a psychic connection to try to reshift whatever...
Right, so I sort of like shove it into... what's the sort of thickness of this?
Like a good melon. good
melon. Oh, so it's big.
Well, the big bits are melon, and then so it's peristalsis, right? So it's like expanding as like some chunk of fluid, gelatinous fluid goes up. And so when it's not like a big chunk, it's sort of I don't know, like a silver dollar size, so it shrinks down.
Sure. I'm just going to shove this thing right into the shoulder because apparently shoulders, no big deal.
Yeah.
if this thing goes into shoulders, great.
Hey, audience, if you're listening, you suffer a shoulder injury, it's not a huge
a huge thing.
Just get a life rod, be the Amber Pope.
Yeah.
One Shot Podcast does not suggest having any shoulder injury.
So Scoop is like laying down and that's how you're piercing it, or you pick it up and you stab him with
it? I pick it up and
pick
I stab
it up
him
and you
with
stab
it.
Him with it. The eyes go wide. There's sort of a shuffling and skittering of all of the limbs of this creature that now contains Uraz. And you can see, you know, your buddy Scooper, is the life force is draining out from him. Something's working, but he's also dying in the process.
No,
it's not totally happening. But in the meantime, Uraz is still being fought. You know, Tanasia is getting closer and closer to the actual body of Uraz. So we're going to like split it this way. So you are getting very close to the center, and what's happening? So you're getting Karner is hanging by that dagger, trying to pull himself free, maybe, and sort of vocally being uncomfortable with what's happening.
Right, and so he's getting closer to the center, kind of pulling along there. But Karner, not one to shy away from unknown things, because it's not his first rodeo. He then.
Tanasia is there with him, so what are they doing?
Oh, that's a good point.
She's like caught onto your maybe like leg or possibly a hand at this point. You know, your free hand.
Yeah, she's like pulling on your other hand, trying to get you free.
Karner would be. I don't know how to make it stop, but if I get to the center, I'm just gonna start stabbing.
Karner. I commend your bravery in this moment, but I can almost guarantee that is not what is going to happen if you are drawn into the center.
Well, then what do you want me to do?
You must let go of that dagger.
Oh, no, not crunch time.
Yeah. First of all, you were going to throw the dagger. You were going to throw it away. It was an attack. I don't know how you thought you were going to get it back. That's not important. This isn't important. Karner. I know that I have trained for years to be able to do this, but I need you to focus with me. I need you, without a psychic connection, to look into my eyes, and we must form a group mind. And I will show you how to let go.
Karner is on board and looks into Tanasia's eyes. And you can see that the grip starting to fade from his beloved Crunch Time dagger.
Oh, no. And so the dagger is not even in your hand anymore. It's a couple feet away, but it's as though your grip is still. It. So that grip is starting to loosen up.
Yes, the white knuckle hands are loosening from the dagger that's feet away.
Yeah.
We probably have to roll for that, don't we?
So what exactly are you attempting?
So I am trying to, pass to him, something of the physical skill that allows me to draw the Phantom Blade.
Heck yeah.
So I think this is a mental roll, which unfortunately I'm not good at.
You're able to give two levels of effort to that though.
Yeah. And I will use.
Is an XP from me gonna do anything?
Yes, that is. That's going to make it much easier.
Well, then I'll keep it.
No, I will use an XP.
So, okay, let's bring it down from a much, much higher rough roll that probably would have required a lot of XP rerolls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that XP represent? Is that like, you know, what are you doing metaphysically or emotionally or whatever to?
Obviously, it's not like me and E, where E can just, you know, Bluetooth into my brain. And so really this here is actually against all odds, me actually connecting and reading between the lines, if you will, of what Tanasia is actually trying to do other than just look at me.
Awesome. I love it. It is a level 3 task. It is a much more manageable task. Okay. Are you spending any effort?
I'm spending the remainder of my effort. I had 5 points left.
Okay, so that could, you could go all the way down if you would like.
Yes, I'm going all the way down.
Okay, that'll incur some like specific drawbacks, but do you want this to be, I mean, that could work. Okay, you go, so, all right, this is going to hurt you. This is physically impairing you.
This, yeah, absolutely must physically impair her.
You just need to beat a one then.
So, cool. has this moment where this like eye contact with Karner as he's like being drawn away, and she puts in her mind and her body like all of the knowledge and skill that has allowed her to draw the Phantom Blade, and they're creating this connection where it can pass between them, but there's like too much distance between them, and she's realized that there's too much emotional distance between them, and she's put that there. She has, for all her time with Karner, not allowed herself to be vulnerable. And the Dell has always said that vulnerability is the key to good scene work. And so with this realization, she drops her vulnerability. She moves forward to Karner, and she kisses him. And I roll a one. I roll a one.
That was the one thing you rolled.
Yes.
I rolled a one.
Oh, yes.
There was a 5% chance of that.
Yeah, dude.
Oh.
Actually, there's a 1 in 20 chance of that happening, and it happened.
At the right time.
Happened.
Okay, the kiss is electric. It's beautiful. It has all of this emotional, energy that's been building up for over a year. But
oh my God.
No. Oh, it works. So you give, you open your mind, but that vulnerability, the reason people shy away from vulnerability is because they get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
God damn good GM.
Yeah, man. Wow.
And so as you give that sword away, that sword, the weapon that you know, and haven't even really been able to share with the group, that this is the only thing that the Watchers can be hurt by. Mm-hmm. That this is a race that has been terrorizing the Ninth World for millennia, and you've discovered their weakness, and you've given it away. You've given away the tool.
Instead of teaching him, I've given it away.
Yeah.
God.
So as you give that sword and that knowledge away, in this passionate kiss, this embrace, Karner, you have the sword. You have your moment to strike. You guys are the other team, at least E, is ready to sort of take on Uraz and hopefully transfer his energy into this vessel. Karner is ready to strike. Tanasia is just pulling away from this amazing kiss and feels a part of her experience and her knowledge passed on to another. She's truly vulnerable in this one moment. What is Skylar doing?
Skylar just saw that kiss happen, and his like fledgling romantic hopes of his infatuation with Tanasia being...
Oh, are you going to give in? Are you feeling a little hurt and betrayed by the people around you?
You know, at first...
Sounds a little bit like a GM intrusion.
It definitely is a GM intrusion. You can still resist it, but like you initially at least feel...
Yeah, no, initially Skylar's like... It's like that moment at the party where you see the girl that you really like, and she's with like that jerk.
Like a real meathead.
The water polo team or something, whatever your high school's equivalent of like the stereotypical football team or whatever.
Well, yeah, Camp Newman.
Camp Newman, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like she's kissing like one of the guys from Camp Newman, blah, blah, who's like got a polo on his popped collar.
Several
anyway.
Polos.
Yeah, seven polos, like seven tunics. And initially he's like really hurt. And then he sees his like tummy telly turns on and Cal appears.
Yeah.
And like in the span of like 1 second, he gets like 100 years worth of like pep talks. And like,
yes.
Those like,
Oh my God.
Those like bullshit motivational phrases that he was giving the petitioner.
Yes.
Back in part one of this podcast series. Mm-hmm. Like he gets that like times.
You got the footnotes down already.
Oh, I do my own podcast. It's called Neo Scum. I know how it works. It's a great cyberpunk role playing Shadowrun podcast. You should listen to it. Also follow me on twitch.tv/ It's Migdal Time. Also shout out to my family, my mom, my dad, my little brother, Jacob.
100 years of pep talks.
Anyway, 100 years of pep talks, and he suddenly has that sort of like fake teenager enlightenment, sort of like Jaden Smith when he was like 12 years old and he was like making all those tweets that were like, the trees have feelings too. And not like how Jaden Smith now is like actually super enlightened and everything, but like initial like 12 year old Jaden
Smith.
You mean
in the ninth world where Jaden Smith is still alive?
Yeah, he's actually like the secret shadow Amber Pope who runs things behind, and his code name is Roger. But anyway, yeah, he's realizing,
we told you listeners, we told you to come back
in a super convoluted way. Anyway, he realizes that he didn't need anybody but himself.
So instead of being horrified by being so alone, he's empowered by it.
Yeah, instead of just being, again, a watcher in his own in his own life, in his own story, he becomes the protagonist. And he turns off his tummy telly after Cal, the original Amber Pope, like waves goodbye and winks. And he is this as simple as just like shooting this thing in the face?
Well, there are two things going on, right? There's the cutting off goal of whatever hold the Watchers have over Uraz, and there's also the transference into this vessel.
Scooper. Scooper has a whole chapter in the Numenera core book. And check it out. Buy it. Monty Cook Games, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Cowboy Scoop.
What are you?
Okay, I'll help my former mentor E. Who's doing the transferring, and I like put my hand on his shoulder, and he like looks up and he sees this like super confident Skylar, and he like puts
that
his...
still has like a cherub face from the life god. Yeah. Or have you aged physically too?
It's slowly aging. Okay, but he's like has acne, he's going through puberty.
Yeah. but the eyes are wiser.
The eyes are wiser. And he says to E, he goes, realize. Real eyes, realize.
I think that's actually a Jaden Smith quote.
That's from Outkast, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, he like says that as energy starts like emitting out of his palms, and this process of transferring their former friend away from whatever he's become,
the little download into, bar in your mind,
into Scooper, and Scooper like is wordlessly crying, like tears just coming out of his eyes. He's like starting to shake, and these strange tattoos are appearing on Scooper's face, like runes and stuff are glowing. Oh my God, our experience bars are all just going super nuts right now. Like, what is going on? The Amber Pope, Skylar's tummy telly starts like flashing to random channels.
Oh yeah, awesome. You're turned up to 11 at this point. You're really being able to use your powers in more nuanced ways than you've been able to before.
Absolutely.
Lovely. The transference is finally working, but it can't quite, you can't drag, you know, his entirety away until this, you have a whole room full of watchers trying to hang on to your friend Uraz and keep him for their mysterious ends. The passionate kiss comes away. Karner is tell me how you're trying to sever the connection with this invisible sword.
He feels the invisible sword. Honestly, at this point, he doesn't even know it's invisible because he still has eye contact. He just feels it, so he just feels like...
And he trusts her.
Got a sword.
And love it. He understands that's going on. Rush of emotion. I mean, you know, even all this stuff's going down, Karner's still like in some deep part of his mind, if there is any deep part of his mind, he's almost keeping it cool as if he expected all this, mostly because he's just dumb. But when he has that sword, I think he comes out of that kiss. Normally, Karner would wink, but he was feeling particularly sincere. He was come out of that kiss with sort of not a nod, but a eyes that you'd make if you understood. And then turns back with gritted teeth toward the eye that he's going toward. Mm-hmm. And how far away is he from the epicenter now?
Yeah, so you are, I think you are now within striking distance of Uraz's face and that mouth opening, right? So you're sort of in the underbelly of this horrible creature with Uraz's face on it, right? And that's what you're sort of, it's pulling it toward you to presumably, there are all these minor tendrils that are sort of starting to reach toward you. Where are you going to strike?
As he's going toward there, he has the sword in his hand, flying up on there. Did the tendrils hit him first, or does he get to the epicenter?
They're starting to, but they as they sort of get near that weapon, they recoil back.
He sees that, and he goes for it.
Okay, just sort of the center of the carapace or something, right?
Yeah, that's what he was shooting for anyway.
Excellent. Tanasia, you have a moment where, you know, you're watching as Karner's about to strike it, and he's headed straight for the center. He has the weapon that can mm-hmm. undo what the Philethus have done. Mm-hmm. He's being pushed aside. He's being pushed away from the heart of it. He won't strike the one strike that he has one chance to do it right.
Okay.
And you can feel that all of these watchers are waiting to take both of you down as soon as you miss.
From the Amber Pope's tummy and his speakers that are next to his tummy, his belly button, it's blaring that like one Eminem instrumental from that song where it's like, I got like one shot.
Oh my god.
Something like that. It's happening as
absolutely.
So with that, Tanasia takes off running dodging. My plan is to have her leap and push Karner into the correct position in order to make this strike. So this is probably a speed, or is that might?
I'm not going to call for a roll. Ooh. If you so it's in this moment of vulnerability and trust and openness and, mm-hmm. and real dedication to a person instead of a cause. You have to, so as you, so those watchers, those stones, you can feel their focus moving in toward you. So they're waiting to strike somehow as soon as the initial attack is sort of deflected. You need to, if you leap, mm-hmm. You won't be able to defend yourself from what they're about to do at all. You will be the target of their destruction. Whatever they're planning to do to both of you, you can push him and kind of take on the focus.
Yeah, that's what she's got to do.
Okay. How does that look?
So we can see Karner drifting towards a grim destiny, the sort of fate that the Watchers set in place for him the moment they laid their horrible, unmoving stone eyes on him. Mm-hmm. This is the destiny that they foresaw in their infinite experience of humanity and what it's been like over the course of a billion years. This is the culmination of a plan that they have set in motion to mm-hmm. destroy us, destroy everything. But what they didn't count on, love, really, the thing that is that one redeeming quality that we all possess. And Tanasia, against their calculations, dashes forward, moving with speed and grace that she's honed over years and years of training at the Selenium Monastery. Skills that she's received despite the, you know what, I'm going to say toxic culture of the Selenium Monastery, if we're being honest. It's not great. Place. Yeah, this is a safe place. It's a podcast broadcast out to the internet.
What could be safer?
She won those skills and hard-fought battles. And she's thought for so long, for so many years in the Selenium Monastery, that she was out of place. She was getting these skills and she didn't have anything useful to put them towards. but now she has this one shot.
Podcast.
And she jumps to push Karner out of the way of the Watchers and
into the heart of
the monster.
You're able to pierce that underbelly of the creature. It starts sending bits of red, very similar to that, you know, the internal structure of the creature seems to be made of that red stone, like the Philethus, and it's starting to pierce and break away. You're feeling that the success of saving the day. Uraz's face that's plastered on starts to look a little more relaxed. But the transference is still happening, so that seems to be currently going. You're focusing on that, right, Skylar?
I'm focusing on that, but I'm also watching the other thing that's going on, and I'm like, you can do it.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
And also in the midst of this,
yes,
Itolus has felt all of these like sort of very, very important feelings and self-realizations that have gone on around him. He's felt all of them just because he's been on Molly. And he didn't need to do any of the sort of like heavy emotional lifting that everybody else did. He just like paid a little bit of money and got all of that without any work at all.
Wow, dude. So you're saying Molly is like really good to do?
Yeah.
One Shot Podcast does not support Molly. Not support the distribution or use of Molly. Thank you.
the entire structure starts rumbling. Celine, who has been there, has been lurking in the shadows, has some elaborate device that you know, that Italas knows connects to a boom tube, and is like, we need to leave. We've done all the damage we can. Run. Your friend is gone. And just as that's happening, so your friends are gone. She motions to Karner and Tanasia and Uraz, and is just like, we need to leave. We've struck at the heart of them, and we need to go. So she's trying to rally you guys to leave. Karner, so you've struck that. You're feeling very good about yourself. The invisible sword is sort of holding you up there. Uraz's face is looking, very calm, and the red gashes in the creature are sort of like folding away like bits of ribbon, like the carapace is just ribbon, and sort of it's tattering away in a way that doesn't make sense for how structurally sound it was. And that's when Tanasia is it leaves a perfect opening for Tanasia to be scooped up by all of these little ribbon-like tendrils, black on one side, red on the inside. And what does it look like as you're being pulled into the beast, and this entire structure is about to fall down. Everyone's shouting, run for the boom tube. Karner is sort of the sword can't be contained much longer. It was tied to Tanasia's control. You're falling to the ground, Karner, slowly.
She's just like has a serious look of like grim determination on her face. And she makes eye contact with Karner once more, sending him, just communicating with her eyes, get out of here.
Karn does not accept. With his
you didn't roll a one. This is a choice.
With his with his hand, he's strong enough to pull himself up with one arm.
He could do it 100 times if you ask him.
But he actually, since the sword is holding him up, in one last effort, he looks up at what he thinks is the central part of what's pulling Tanasia. With his one arm, pulls himself up, because I imagine the sword kind of being stagnant, right?
Yeah.
If he pulls, he's up. Exactly. The sword is not going to come down.
Yep.
And so he swings himself up with his feet to get the sword from a striking position where he's holding it like you'd normally hold a sword, almost to a dagger position where you'd get ready to throw it. And so as he pulls himself up, puts the sword in the dagger position with whatever he has left, understanding he was going to throw the sword and push himself down toward the ground, he tries to throw the sword at the center of the beast.
And this will, and he's hoping to kill it before it consumes Tanasia.
He's hoping to make it no more.
Oh goodness. This is going to require a roll.
You got some
can I toss a
yes, you can.
A dash
this
of experience
is going to be
into
not
that
a
one?
Level 10 roll anymore, which requires a 30 on a d20.
Hey,
whoa,
that's
no.
More than a
not
d20 has.
Fair. Yeah. Okay, so I would bring XP? This down to a 6, but this is super hard.
So it's like an 18?
Yep. Is there any way that Skylar can assist with his godly powers?
You've got so I have
let's put your stuff together.
Yeah, let's get a package in place. I'm gonna spend some effort. Which thing does that come out of?
I think
speed might.
It depends if you're doing it with dexterity or brute force.
I think it is going to take brute force to throw this.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Cool.
I have 16 might. I'm going to use, what
you
is it, 3
per? You can use 2 levels of effort. 3 for the first one, 2 for the second, and so 5 for 2 levels.
And let's do
and
the 5.
And minus any edge. But it doesn't.
See the 5 spot, I have an edge of 1.
Cool. So it only costs 4.
Okay.
So that brings it down to a level 4, still lower than 50% chance.
I'm not feeling good.
Skylar reaches into his telly tummy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Like, what? Could I do this? And
you had 100 years of pep talks.
Yeah,
do this?
He like learned a lot about himself, and like
absolutely,
he gets more control over the channels now. Anyway, he pulls out his emerald.
TiVo.
Yeah, he's got TiVo and Slingbox. That's a thing, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, he also has Toonami.
Hell yeah!
And like there so many go. Channels. Anyway, and he also has like. TV guide. Okay, and he reaches into his tummy and he pulls out his emerald staff from
yes.
before part mm-hmm. one, y'all. And he imbues the dagger with this powerful energy. And
cool.
He's like, emerald staff! And I have all of these experience. Can I give any? You've just been like handing me dice.
You've just been hoarding dice. I think one of those you're supposed to give away and you hadn't. But
okay.
In any case, you have a butt ton of XP. Okay, yeah. I'm imagining you have to sacrifice whatever was powerful about the staff to give that property over to this other weapon.
Oh,
so you
absolutely.
Have to destroy the staff.
Cool. Yo, how about this? Like, the staff... Because I pulled it out of me,
yeah.
It's like part of my power.
Yes.
And I
Ooh.
Blast so hard with this staff. I like did a funny hand motion when I did that I didn't
and
really
And then looked
intend.
Really uncertain. Which is
what... how about this? Like my left shoulder and left arm, which had previously been super jacked, atrophy.
Yeah,
and I have
awesome.
Like a... tiny
you've physically given a part of yourself
yeah like my left arm is now just like a baby's arm like Scoopers was back when he was back like 3 hours ago when he was a baby and he's got this little baby arm now and his face is aged back
okay
to his normal age
okay.
though mm-hmm. in case we're wondering where his body's at
yeah
we are
yeah so I painted a picture the dagger is like more powerful now.
Excellent. So is it like a stream of the green sort of sheen of that dagger kind of goes onto and coats that invisible sword?
Yeah.
So
I
it's
think
visible
so.
Now?
Like we see it for the first time.
The outline, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I feel like if you do you have a sense of what it does, Connor?
Of what the green does?
How does it kill it? How does it functionally stop this creature from taking both of you in?
Or are the we sword? Rolling still? Or?
Oh, yeah. I guess so, yeah. I mean, he threw a bunch of XP at it, but we still have to roll. So we were down to a 4. I'll give that 2 levels of effort.
Only 2? I sacrificed my fucking arm. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Darcy,
yeah.
Thank you.
That's right. If we weren't surrounded by watchers.
And we do
more.
We do have that. He can re-roll this.
Yeah.
So. That's a good roll, though.
What
17.
Is it?
17.
Okay. Awesome.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, that.
Tell me how cool this is.
Because that green is surrounding that. Honestly, all of Connor's attention was on the bullseye.
Yeah.
Or what he perceived to be the bullseye
yeah.
out of the ribbons.
And so he was getting ready with that dagger.
Getting
strike.
Ready. His body position right now is his legs are actually in front of the dagger. The dagger's back. It's almost like he's about to throw a javelin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he swung himself up into.
Mm-hmm.
And then I imagine at that point, green hits it. You know, finally sort of outlines it. I'm thinking sort of like like you know, old Atari games when they had the outline of certain geometric shapes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes that sort of green outline, not fully filling it in, but giving an outline of what it is. It shows off that it's more than seemingly just a regular blade. It seems to have some of the similar rune shapes on it, maybe something originally made by them or bestowed by them, but Carter's not much one for history. From that, he kind of thinks of that as being a sign that he's doing something right, and it really emboldens him. And so he throws that at it, putting it in front of his body, shooting it forward. He's very good at that sort of stuff, and it's going straight at the target as he actually falls away from it for the first time in the scene, being helpless as he falls, as he sees the deck or sees the big green sword going towards target.
Awesome. So I think that the two of you are falling. Mm-hmm. This whole structure is starting to crack. There are cracks happening amongst the watchers, sort of red stones in the walls. Horrible noises are coming from the beast that once was Uraz. That transference is... you have to cut it off at some point. What are you doing?
I'm about to cut it. I'm cutting it off right now, and I'm making my way to the boom boom tube.
Awesome. Okay.
Dragging Scooper behind me.
Excellent. Scooper, I think, is mostly passed out at this point. He's still sort of like full of
Scooper,
life energy.
We don't know the state of Scooper yet.
Excellent. But it was worth a shot.
The Ember Pope takes like one look back at what he did, and then he turns into snowy owl form.
Yes.
But one of his wings is like a little baby wing, and he tries to fly. And he succeeds because the way he flies had nothing to do with his wings.
Right.
Oh, it was in the power is inside him the whole time.
Yeah, it was like some weird magic science that is so far future that it just doesn't need to be explained. He's like glides over anyway. For 1 second, though, you thought he couldn't fly.
Oh, that's perfect.
It is true.
So we montage as you guys are escaping this. Any last – so you pull – so the boom tube sort of pulls up like, like a little portal looking thing, right? Doesn't it kind of?
Yeah, it just creates like sort of a weird whitish portal that's like flowing in the side of the thing. There's cool. Kirby crackle for the real fans out there.
Nice. So you get through it, and we time jump. Okay, so you're all hurt, and especially Tanasia is near. You know, is not doing
not
well.
Doing great.
But it's the last day of Safe Haven. We get maybe one sort of closing scene as you've seen no signs of watchers. Your friend, we sort of montage through Selena looking around with that visor. There's no sign of them anymore. Some of the missing people or some people who seem to have been acting strange stopped acting strange recently. There's been a lot of mystery sort of calmed down on this last day of Safe Haven. Your last day of summer. Your last day of not being a full Aeon priest.
I'm sorry about your friend Scooper. I don't know yet whether or not the transference was completed.
We're like at a hospital, a Numenera hospital bed.
I think, okay, can we be at the Cylion Basin? Can we be like soaking in the Cylion Basin together?
In this, to the Healing Springs.
Cool, we snap to the Healing Springs. We snap to the I snap to the Healing Springs. Can I do that, Darcy? All
right, cool. Oh, yeah, of course.
We're there.
Awesome. So this is very far away from where we just were, but it's kind of like a tourist town, and there are these hot springs that have water of different colors, and they have healing properties, supposedly, and also other strange properties. So you guys are you in one of the basins?
Skylar's not in a basin. There's like a shot of a basin, and then you cut over to see Skylar like sprinting in big board shorts, and he goes and does a cannon orb, and he like jumps and hops in and makes a big splash.
Perfect.
I think Karner is in the basin that is, I believe, if I listened correctly from the previous episodes, the basin that's green.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that basin, last time he was in it, changed his emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that last time it changed him to sadness. But now it changes him to be oddly introspective. And his mind can't wrap around that very well. But he's just sitting there like, well, if that can happen to Uraz, what's going to happen to us? Mm. I mean, how are we? as he's healing.
That remains to be seen. All of my travels, I only first heard of the Watchers traveling with this group, and I have no idea what the extent of their power is, but I do know that if they do still live, we have made powerful enemies.
Italus is tending to a prone scooper who's in a sort of a lounge chair.
Is he still in the cowboy hat?
Of course he's still in the cowboy hat.
He loves the cowboy hat. We've tried to take it off of him and he reaches back and mindlessly puts it back on.
Yeah, I think the only sign that there's still something going on.
We've dressed him up in other ways. I think he's got a guitar now too.
Does he say do we want to say that he says Uratz? Uratz.
I had an idea.
Okay.
I had an idea Recon. Too.
I also had no ideas, but I will talk all the time. Just kidding.
I have an idea for a post-credit scene.
Yeah, that's basically what my idea was.
I had an idea for a post-credit scene.
We got to build up to that post-credit scene.
Yeah, right. Sorry, guys.
But I think with this group, with these people, I feel that we can do something to defend the Ninth World. And more than that, to reshape it. Whatever brutality the Watchers brought upon this world does not need to remain. Skylar, you...
Yes.
You are someone that I will follow. I cannot follow the Order of the Selenium Monks any longer. There are too many flaws. There is a core of an idea at the heart of what the Selenium Monks are, and that is what I wish to follow. Not the Dell, not to be under the auspices of the Sharna. I would like to start my own order on this day. The Selenium Numenera Legion. The SNL. Oh. I have graduated beyond the need.
That's brilliant. Oh my God.
For any of their teachings. And I commit our strength to you and your direction for the Ninth World, Skylar.
Cool. That sounds like super cool. And if you want to form the SNL, then, you can do that at the Amber Pope house. The ducal? Is it called the ducal?
I think it's called the Durkal, but we've been calling it the ducal all night, so
that's
Amber Pope house will do.
You can do that at the Amber Pope house, and I'll even put your SNL on my tummy telly sometimes. Maybe Saturday. that's so cool. And I feel like I've learned so much with you guys. And it's only been 2 days or something, but.
And the sun is starting to set on the last day of Safe Haven. It's starting to get, rosy in the sky.
Oh my God. I just realized none of the Amber Bishops know where I've been. He snaps his fingers and we all pop back into the Duke Hall or the Amber Pope house, what have you. Monty Cook, if you're listening, you're welcome. and we...
There's a hot buffet.
There's a hot buffet that's being ignored by a bunch of these Aeon priests who are squabbling amongst themselves as we appear and we're all still wearing our pool outfits.
Oh yeah.
And sopping wet, and Scooper is there with his cowboy hat looking cool, and all of the bishops collectively do a spit take as they're like, what? And then Skylar's like, hey everybody, it's Skylar the Amber Pope. So we just stopped a cataclysmic event. I think these guys, the Watchers, were super not chill. And me and my new friends, who are all, by the way, bishops now, sorry, deal with it. they played an important role and pretty much were heroes. And it's kind of ironic that this happened during Safe Haven because it was actually pretty dangerous. But I learned a lot about myself. And
irony.
The Amber Pope Calival, he lives inside me. I like turn on the TV real quick and he's there. And
gives a little hey.
Does a little hey. And maybe like one Aeon priest like faints.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And then I like switch the channel real quick. I guess I'm going to run stuff from now on. I'm still going to go to school though. So I'm going to be going back to school tomorrow, but after school, I'll be running stuff at the Amber Pope house. And one other thing, Fridays, we're all just going to hang out. All right. No one has to do Aeon Priest stuff. We're just going to chill. If anyone has a problem with that, you can talk to me in private. Anyone else want to say anything right now?
All the Aeon Priests are stunned. What are you guys doing? Sopping wet. In your board shorts, etc., bikinis.
This is might be the wrong time to ask. I seem to have overheard. I am now a bishop.
That's correct.
And I was wondering if I could choose the design of my hat.
Oh, you know what? Bishops can choose the design of their hat if they're cool. If they're not cool, sorry. Cool though.
Karner, if not in reality, at least in his mind, Karner goes to a hat montage of just decking out.
Awesome.
I think like that's like the sort of 80s movie like freeze frame end scenes of just like everybody in different hats.
Yes. So excellent. Credits start rolling. We have our post credit scenes that you have thoughts
let's
of.
Alex take us home.
So that was the end of Safe Haven with the hat montage.
We see Scoop has been sort of propped up next to the hot buffet, guitar still cradled in his arms. There's still goings on around it. You can see there's sort of an archway that shows a sun or whatever the Numenara version of a sun is sort of setting, and it's the twilight. And the camera sort of pans closer and closer onto Scoop until it is real tight on his hands on the fretboard. And you see it sort of kind of creak, the fingers creak into a power chord, and they start moving. And they go, bow, bow, now, 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 bow, bow, now, 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 bow, 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 now, bow, 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 bow.
One more thing. So like it starts to fade out and it goes to black. And then we zoom out a little bit and we see that the screen that we were looking at was Skylar's tummy telly. And Skylar's there and he's holding hands with Katie.
Yes.
And he's like, "You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go. Get out." It's the end of the podcast.
Well, with that, I think we all have to thank Darcy so much.
Thank you, Darcy.
Thank you, Darcy.
Thank you, Darcy. Thank you. Big thanks to Money Cook for letting us permanently destroy this setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to begin our Spooktober celebration with a special remastered edition of our first Everyone is John game. Normally, we don't do this sort of thing, but our good friend and contributor Luke Null recently got cast on Saturday Night Live. That's right, the Saturday Night Live. So we are going to be editing the show so anybody who might be a fan of him can check it out without some of the audio inconsistencies that were in the early episodes of One Shot. While you're waiting for that, be sure to check out some of the other great shows on our network like Neo Scum. Neo Scum is a future fantasy comedy podcast featuring five Chicago improvisers antagonizing their way through the role-playing classic Shadowrun. It follows a group of misfits and outsiders. A chromehead decker, a teenage candy junkie klepto, a kid show wizard with a petulant thirst for adventure, and the nastiest trucker this side of the Robo Mason Dixon. Join the irascible Neo Scum crew as they dole out street justice to every deeb they encounter, whether they deserve it or not. Be sure to join us this week on the One Shot Twitch stream. On Monday, we are moving on from Warda Curiosities to start up Warda Glimpses, an
anthology finale series set in the world of Warda. It's going to start up at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, and if you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, that means it's happening today. Next up, on Wednesday, the Dungeon Dome returns with a match between Arrow and Claudish at 8 p.m. Central Time. Then on Saturday, the Compass Cats team up with Mega Starlight Surprise to battle a monster, starting at 12 p.m. Central Time. Then at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, we're going to be returning to the Tomb of Annihilation. DM Drew Merzieski is going to take us back to the third level of the Tomb of Nine Gods. We have not lost a character yet, and I don't plan to start this week. Just a reminder that One Shot is attending a ton of cons in November. We're going to be at Metatopia in Morristown, New Jersey, the 2nd through the 5th, Akatacon in Dayton, Ohio, the 10th through the 12th, and PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the 17th through the 19th. As always, we end One Shot with a call to action, and this week I have two issues to talk about. The first is the CHIP program, that is the Children's Health Insurance Program, which is jointly administered by state and federal government and insures children whose family incomes are too high to qualify for Medicaid. While CHIP benefits vary by state, every state covers basic services like shots, doctor visits, and prescription medication. Currently, about 5.7 million children are enrolled in the CHIP program nationwide. The problem is CHIP's federal funding is set to expire on September 30th, 2017, meaning it is already gone. If Congress does not pass a bill renewing its funding, states will exhaust their federal CHIP money as early as December of this year, endangering millions of children's healthcare access. This issue needs action, and it needs action now. You can help out by contacting your representatives and demanding that they move on creating room for CHIP in the budget. You can make that call using a service that I use every week, and that is 5calls.org. 5calls.org has issue summaries, like the one that I just spoke about, contact information for your representatives, and a script to read while you're on the phone to make sure your message gets across. Calling takes only a couple of minutes, and it can make a huge difference in the issues you care most about. Next, I'd like to discuss hurricane relief for Puerto Rico. Now, you can also help this issue out by calling your representatives, but if you want to go the extra mile, you can actually donate to relief efforts. While most people's first instinct is to donate to the Red Cross, they only provide medical relief. Unfortunately, because of Hurricane Maria, Puerto Rico needs infrastructure relief in addition to medical response. Donating to places like United for Puerto Rico and the Hispanic Federation will help provide broad-spectrum relief that is needed in the wake of this terrible disaster. One Shot is a proud partner in the Chicago Podcast Co-op. If you're an advertiser looking to reach an engaged Chicago audience, be sure to contact the co-op about advertising opportunities. And if you're a listener who wants to find a new show, check out Blastrocast. Blastrocast is a comedy talk show focused on science, bursting with absurdity. As always, a big thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about the show. You can also leave us a rating or review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. If you want to hear more from the show, be sure to follow us on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod. Check out our Tumblr at OneShotPodcast.tumblr.com. Check out our Google Plus community. Or look for news on the site at oneshotpodcast.com. If you're looking to inquire about advertising rates, live appearances, and commissioning episodes, or you have a question or comment about something you heard on the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a joint production between Peaches and Hot Sauce and Paracosm Press. Peaches and Hot Sauce is a Chicago-based comedy network with tons of great podcasts, videos, and live shows for you to check out at peachesandhotsauce.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Be Your Own Pet with Adventure, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes!